Bibles, two verses, one in the Old Testament. The wisest man that ever lived recorded these words. And then we're going to turn to Acts chapter 20. We're going to look at what one of the greatest evangelists in the early church had. And he gives us some pretty good words. Listening to the words of the songs, it's all about Jesus. Well, don't you know, it's all about Jesus. Not about me. I'm just so glad I know him. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because I know him. I have hope. I have hope. I look forward to what God's going to do. And I want to be a part of it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. To everything that happens in your life, there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7, Paul, in talking, we can look at this and we can say, well, it's the first message that Paul ever titled that he was going to talk about, but I think it referring more to he's getting ready to go away the next morrow. Verse number 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Everybody ready to be here till midnight? I'm not. I'll guarantee you we won't. But there's two thoughts I want to bring out. There is a time to be ready. There is a time to be ready. Lord, we're thankful, God, for the opportunity. Lord, as we come before you today, God, we ask you, Lord, to minister today, God, to touch the hearts of your people, God. Oh, we need you, Lord. We need your directing hand and guidance upon our lives. We ask you, Lord, to be with us tonight, oh God, as we study your word, as we go to it and find out, oh God, what you have for us. We ask you, Lord, to be with us in a special way. Touch each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So in taking the two thoughts, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And in Paul's exhortation, he preached unto them ready to depart on the morrow. Right. So I want to take those two thoughts and talk to you for just a little while. Are you ready? Are you ready? There's a time to get ready. We talked and we sang about Jesus tonight, and he's everything. That's the reason we come to church. Otherwise, we'd be just a group gathering together and talking. But we come to see Jesus, and to feel Jesus, and to hear about Jesus, and to hear that he's got something great promised for every one of us. But we got to be ready. We must be ready. Right. See, a time, in taking that thought, a time for every purpose, every one of us has one day that's special. And we sang about that to one gentleman here tonight. And we weren't able to determine what day that was going to be. But the time of our birth was not our decision. And in the same sense, I work in the funeral industry. I'm going to let you know the time of your death, you don't have control of. You don't know when it's going to happen. But we can make some wise decisions on what happens between the time we're born and the time we die. And those decisions are critical to determine where we're going to be when eternity starts. Whether we're going to spend an eternity with God in heaven, where there's walls of jasper, gates of pearls, a street of gold. There's going to be a banquet table spread there that you have never ever feasted upon. As a cook, I love to cook some great meals, but I guarantee you there's nothing going to compare to the feast that we're going to have at the table that Jesus got prepared. But the determination, there is a time to be ready. And that is up to us, nobody else. I can't make it for you, you can't make it for me. We have to determine if we're going to do it ourselves. There's a song we sing. We haven't sang it for a long time. Are you ready if the Savior called today? Would you be ready if He called on you today? We hear these words and we've used them a lot. Anybody ever going on a camping trip somewhere? And here's mom or dad. Are you ready yet? We got to get going. Or maybe we're going out to eat. We're going to be late. We've got to be ready. I remember one time we lived on a farm. I was just a little kid. And Mom, there's six of us, so it took Mom a while to get all of us ready. And she got me and my little brother Jack ready to go. And we were going on a special, I don't know if it was to a wedding or something. We were going to something special. And we were dressed up in the best. Nice dress pants and dress shirt. I don't know if I had a tie on, but we were dressed up. And the words that she said when she sent us outside to play, don't get dirty. Tell that to a 6-7-year-old kid, or 8-year-old. I don't know how old I was. I'll just say this. It was not pretty when she came out. Because me and my little brother got on the tractor. And we were going to drive the tractor. And there was grease. And we were covered from head to toe. I still remember the picture. Mom had the picture. She took the picture of us before we got a beating. But we were covered in grease. You're going to make us late. You got to be ready. Same thing. How many times we're getting ready to go to church and we're yelling at the kids, are you ready yet? Yeah. There are words that's used every day. Are you ready? We all look at a situation. Go back in the Old Testament to the book of Daniel in chapter 3. We're going somewhere. Daniel chapter 3 talks about the three Hebrew children. And it says that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, he decided he was going to make a big golden image. And this big golden image was going to be set out in the plains. And then he was going to, in verse 1, he talks about it. Verse 2, he talks about how he gathered everybody together. Come on, we're going to go to this special occasion. We got to be ready. We got to be ready. Verse number 3, and they all stood before this big image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then verse 4 and 5, it says that the man called out aloud. He says, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time, again, we use that word, time, at what time you hear the sound of the flutes, the harp, sackbut, the psaltery, all kinds of music. At what time you hear this happening, he said, I want you guys to bow down and pay reverence to the image. Pretty simple, right? Well, there just so happened to be 3 young guys there. And the music played. And everybody bowed down at that time that the music started to play. They were all bowing. Except 3 young men. They just stood there. And it wasn't long till some of the people that were a little upset with these 3 young men that were rulers in King Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and they were Jews, and some of these other people, they didn't like them, and so they were watching. Funny how sometimes, you know, we have people watching. People are watching. They're watching. Time to be ready. What does the Bible say about when we go to eat in a restaurant? The Bible says we should bow our heads and pray for our meal. But see, sometimes there's people watching, so we don't want to offend somebody else, so we'll just bow our heads and we'll look at our meal and we'll play around with it, our fork. Pretend we're saying some words, and then look up and start eating. No. We're really ready. And we're going to be ready to meet Jesus. We're going to do everything that He says that we need to be doing. So when we go to the restaurant, we're going to pray for our food. Everybody bows their heads and we pray. We don't make a show of it. That's not what God wants, but God wants obedience. God wants us to be obedient to the Word of God. Because in being obedient to the Word of God, we make ourselves ready to meet our God. And so here they are, these 3 young men. And I could just see multitudes of people on this plain. That big image down there, and everybody's bowing down except for these 3 young men. And they're just standing around looking. Yep. And it says the king got very, very upset. Very upset. And it says that in verse number 10, as these people came to King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the psaltery, and all kinds of music. They shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falls not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I got thinking about it. Because when they went out there to do this, I do not believe that the king thought there was anybody going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. But you know what? They had a fiery furnace going. I got thinking, you know, maybe he thought some people weren't going to do it. Maybe he was beginning to have a thought in his mind that there's going to be some rebellious people that are not going to listen to what I say, so you guys get the fiery furnace going just in case. I wonder sometimes if God don't look down upon us. Say, I wonder if there's some rebellious people that don't want to listen to my words. They don't want to put the time in to be ready to meet me on that day. Because my Bible says that there's a lake of fire prepared that day. And whosoever's names were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to go to that lake of fire. God did not plan on one man, woman, or child in this world to ever go to the lake of fire. Nobody was destined to spend an eternity in hell. Only Satan and those angels that rebelled against God. That's the only ones that were destined to go there. But see, because we don't take the time to get ready to meet our Savior, hell has been enlarged for those that don't want to go to heaven. And really, that's all it is. That it's up to me. God has prepared a way for me to spend an eternity in heaven. All I have to do is follow God's plan, and I'll make it there. But there's a lot of people going to spend an eternity in hell because they didn't want to take the time to get ready. Verse number 14, the king in his rage, 13, the king in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they were brought these men before the king, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them. He loved those men. They were men that he had taken out of Israel to be brought down into his kingdom. He fed them, he trained them, he got them all ready to be rulers in his kingdom. And here they are standing before him that day. And there was a spot in his heart that I just don't understand, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? I brought you down here. I trained you. I got you all ready. Is this what you're doing to me? These people are looking at you and you're not bowing. I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a second chance. Now if ye be ready. Now if ye be ready. That word, be ready again. I want to tell you, you got to be ready. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of all the music begin to play, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, it'll be all right. Can you picture? Here he is out on this field, big plain, a big image up over here. And the king comes to you, says, you know what? We're going to give you a second chance. If all you have to do, when the music begins to play, fall down. If you don't pray to my image, that's all right. If you don't pray to my God, that's all right. Just fall down so that the people will see that you're in obedience to me. That's what the devil wants. That's what the devil wants. He wants us to be in obedience to him instead of to him. We got to be in obedience to God. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time? Those two words that we found in Ecclesiastes and Acts, being a time and to be ready. And he begins, he tells the orchestra, start to play. And they begin to play. And it says, they didn't bow. They weren't concerned about the king's decree, because there was a decree that was far more important to them, and that's God. I've got to be ready. Verse 16, let this heart be changed from man's, and let the beast's heart be given unto him. Sorry, verse 13. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They made a stand because they in their hearts decided to be ready to serve God, and to live for God was far more important than that golden image that was sitting out there. It would have been easy to just go down on one knee and say, God, you'll let them think that we're praying to their God, but we're praying to you. No. When you make a stand for God, you got to make a stand so the world sees it. The world needs to see that we're ready. We are ready to shine for Jesus. And being known unto thee, O King, we don't care. God will take care of us. It doesn't matter. See, the three Hebrew children were ready to take a stand for God. And the question we have today is, are we ready to make a stand for God today? Not just a stand that says, I'm going to come to an altar and repent of my sins and get baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of my sins. I'm going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's important. But am I going to make a stand for God in the day in which I live to be forth or come forth as a child of the King so that others can see? Am I willing to stand up like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego amongst all the crowd and all the important people of the world that were standing there? And they said, you know what? We're not careful to answer thee, O King. We don't care what you do to us, because our God's going to take care of us. They were ready. That's what God is looking for us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17. What the Word of God says. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Are you willing to be ready to be separate? Are you willing to stand up and say, hey, I'm not like the rest of the world? There's a Christian world out there that says, oh, it's all right to do all kinds of things. But are you willing to come out from among them and be separate and say, hey, God, I'm ready to be separate so that you can take me, stand me in front of people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'm going to stand true to you. I'm going to make myself known that I'm serving God. I don't care about anybody else. I'm going to live for God. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. What does he say? Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Are you ready to take on the name and stand for the name? We sang the songs, Blessed Be the Name. We sang all kinds of songs about Jesus and who He is. Are you willing to stand and be ready to say, hey, there's no other name. There's no other name. Nowhere else I can turn to find salvation, this soul of mine. John chapter 3. Three through five. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Only one way to get to heaven. That's not my way. It's not pastor's way. Not Brother Holland's way. It's God's way. I've got to be born again. Born of the water. Taking on that name that is above every name. I've got to be born of the Spirit. I've got to receive that same Spirit that dwelt in Christ. I've got to dwell within my soul. Because that's the only thing that's going to take me up out of this world. The Bible says in Romans, if that same Spirit that dwelt in Christ dwelleth in you, it will raise you on that day. There's nothing going to hold you back on the judgment day when the trumpet sounds and God says, time shall be no more. And the dead in Christ rise first, and we that are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with Him. Are we ready to take a stand for Jesus? That's what God's asking. Are you ready? In fact, John chapter 14 talks about another thing. Verses 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, I want to let you know, there's a blessed day coming. One of these days, time's going to be no more. But only if I've made myself ready am I going to spend my eternity with God. Only if I've done what God has said. But the promise is there that I can. For God says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Every last one of us, God's got a place prepared. A mansion. What a beautiful place. Street of gold. rivers of living water, walls of jasper, gates of pearls. I want to tell you that there's nothing in this world compares to what heaven's going to be like. Nothing. But are we ready for a mansion? Are you ready to spend an eternity with God in a mansion with Him? If you are, you got to take time to make sure you're ready. You got to make time to make sure you're ready. Because Matthew chapter 13 tells us about something else. Verses 41 and 42. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to go there. God, I want to make myself ready. I want to be like the five wise virgins. They took the oil with them. They wanted to make sure there was nothing going to stop them when that call came, the bridegroom cometh. They just got up and got ready. I will let you know, we got to get ourselves ready. When the trumpet sounds, there'll be no time to get ready. There'll be no time. Because time shall be no more. You're either going to be ready or you're not. Verses 49 and 50 says this. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh God, why? Why would you put that in there, God? You're a loving God. You're a merciful God. You're a God that loves us. He put it in there because He gives us the opportunity. I got to make it right with God. Nobody else can for me. But I want to let you know, there is a hell that we got to shun. There's a heaven to gain, but there is a hell to shun. Paul made the statement in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Comes right down to this. Verse number 2 Timothy. Oh, no. I go to 2 Timothy. Sorry, I'm in the wrong book. Paul said in verse number 2, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. There's those that don't want to be ready. They don't want to be ready. God tells us we need to preach the word. We need to let people know that there is a heaven and a hell. We need to let them know that there's an opportunity while Jesus is still waiting to come for them to get ready. We got to be ready. God's looking for some people that are ready to stand up for God today in the day in which we live. We're in the last days. There's no doubt about it. All you need to do is turn on the radio and listen to the newscast and tell you all kinds of things that are happening in the world. Open up a newspaper. Nothing but disasters, earthquakes, typhoons, earthquakes, earthquakes, earthquakes. God's trying to tell us He's coming. He's coming. We need to get ready. See, because Paul made the statement in the next verse, in verse 6, "For I am now ready." He said, "I'm ready. I don't have to get ready now. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And I like what he adds to that. "But not only to me, but to all them that love his appearing." Folks, I love his appearing. I love that Jesus Christ is coming back. I'm ready. Are you ready? I fought a good fight. I did everything I could. And now I'm ready to go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 16 through 18. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." You know what? I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to that day. Can you know? You know, there's times we sit down and we ponder the question, "Am I ready?" "Well, God, you know, I'm weak. I make mistakes. Sometimes I fail, God. I don't want to be lost. God, how can I know, God, that I'm going to be ready to go?" If that same spirit that dwelt in Christ dwells in you, I want to tell you the greatest thing that you can ever do is in your prayer time with God, break through speaking in that other heavenly language to know that God's there. Oh, there's going to be times, I tell you, there's going to be times that you feel like heaven is shut up. You just can't seem to reach God. Just keep stepping forward. Don't sit down. Don't sit back and say, "Well, I'll wait for God to move again." No, you just keep getting up. Say, "Hey, God, I don't feel you today, but you know what? I'm going to go out there. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to pray for my meal. I'm going to do everything I can." Because there's no hope if I'm not ready. There's no hope if I'm not ready. Jesus made the statement in closing today in Luke chapter 12. Verse number 40. "Be ye therefore ready." Oh God, I don't know if I am. "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye thinketh not." You know what? I don't know the day nor hour. Are you ready for the Savior? He is coming by and by. Are you ready for the meeting in the air? He is coming with the angels coming with the angels. Are you ready for the Savior? Are you ready for the Savior? Should He come to take His own? Would you be among the saved at His right hand? Are you ready? I can't answer that. As we stand, you have to answer that yourself. Are you ready? God's coming. Don't allow the pleasures of this world to take away the greatest gift there ever is, and that's spend eternity with God in heaven. Hallelujah.
Wanna be ready? Oh, I
comes a time in
wanna
your life
be
where
ready. Oh,
you answer that question yourself. You can be honest with that question.
Wanna be ready?
You got nothing to be worried about.
Oh,
there's always that question. Am I?
Wanna be ready?
It's quiet because every one of us.
Wanna
to make sure
ready.
Our hearts are clean.